Do not listen to Cindy. Just saying. Listen to Cindy in terms of medical advice. She knows not what she speaks of. Good morning. We have, stand up and say hello to somebody. Okay, now that we have Cindy straightened out, good morning. We have a few announcements. One of them is, about water. There you are. What are you doing way back there? Well, hi. You're usually up here. Okay. Tell me if I get this right. Shout at me. We are having a pallet of water delivered tomorrow, and we need some help unloading it. It usually takes about 15 minutes. And what time in the morning do you need help, Debbie?
About 10:30.
We need some help unloading water here. 10:30. Pallet of water is being delivered. So, we need some help. Talk to Debbie. Right back there with the good peanuts that we're not allergic to. All right, tomorrow, 10:30, unloading water. No puppet practice. That may have already not happened. Ash Wednesday is the 26th, which is a week from Wednesday. At 6 o'clock, we will have a service here in the sanctuary, followed by a soup supper in the fellowship hall. And that means that Lent is getting near. And so the elders will be leading Wednesday evening services with the one book that we have and the two that are coming. That's a major faux pas on my part. Anyway, church office will be closed tomorrow. So if you have anything for the... I heard that. Do you owe me any more money, Tom, for that?
No, ma'am.
No, because you really need to apologize for that, right? No.
No, I'm not sure I was paying attention.
Yes. I think so. I think you owe me a dollar and quarters.
Okay,
so the Week of Compassion we're celebrating today. There are Week of Compassion boxes right in the back. Thank you for reminding me of that. I will give you a quarter back. In the back, we are supposed to bring them back full of coins that are silver in color. Next week, for our noisy offering. There's also a Week of Compassion box in my office that is to be filled with quarters every time you apologize for something that you really don't need to apologize for. I am right now, yes. Think about that for a minute, especially women, how often we apologize for things we don't need to apologize for and how that cheapens apologies. Ah. Well, there's a sermon series. Well, yeah, you probably should, but no. There's still time to sign up for pastor's class, which theoretically starts next week after worship. So are there any other announcements this morning? Yes, Mike. Hello, your sister's here.
She is.
Hi. But I was. What? Oh, Coolin. Of course. Yes, I was going to do that. Thank you. Coolin Hogan has stepped up to the plate in a mighty fashion and is now our vice president of the board. So the next time you see him, tell him how grateful we all are. So that is a great joy of ours, and Coolin is a cool guy. So, any other announcements this morning? Directories, new directories can pick up right outside of the office, so pick up yours. And I believe that's that. So, we will begin our worship service this morning now with the prelude. Arlen? Thank you, Arlen. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? Gardeners do not know what will come of the seeds they plant with their hands, yet they kneel in the dirt, dig with their hands, and bury one seed at a time. They come away with dirty fingernails and expectant hearts. When those sprouts emerge, when any of us suffer, support from others allows us to imagine futures more promising than our present. Hands are held, stories are heard, skills are grown, and laughter bubbles up where heartache held strong. When hearts mend and new life blooms, one plants, another waters, but God gives the growth. What is the future like when we join together as co-workers in God's service to release the healing waters of God's love throughout our world? Our opening hymn is All Creatures of Our God and King, number 22. Let us pray. God of good growth, prepare the soil of our hearts to receive your life-bearing call, that we would invest our gifts with confidence and joy in the fruitful future you bring. We pray in the name of the one who makes all things new, even Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins
as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Get out, Mackenzie. What is it? What is it today? Does anyone here know what this is? It's a shaggy dog. It's a shaggy dog. This week, I'll let you take it and pass it down so everybody can, because he's very soft. This past week, there was a dog show, and there was a shaggy dog there. And shaggy dogs are actually called English sheepdogs. And the thing I like about the dog show is I get to see all these different sorts of dogs. They have skinny dogs and fat dogs and hairy dogs and bald dogs. They have every kind of dog imaginable, just like people. And it's so fun to look at all these different types of dogs and say, isn't that cool? Isn't it cool to see how many different types of dogs there are? And dogs have different jobs. An English sheepdog, do you know what it did? What it was made, what it's supposed to do as its job? Yes. Herded sheep. And you know what it actually did even more than that? The farmers in England would take their sheepdog with them to drive their cattle and sheep into town to sell them. These were good. They were called drover dogs. Now, you know what they're really good for? They're good for protecting children. They're good child protectors because they have a very unusual bark. And boy, if they bark, you know something's wrong, and the parents will come running. But anyway, isn't it great that we have so many different types of dogs and so many different types of people? It makes our world so nice. Okay, let's say a little prayer. Dear God, thank you for all the different types of dogs in the world and for all the different types of people. It makes our lives rich and full. Amen. Okay.
Did you see the dog that didn't win, that took his time and jumped up on the in front of the camera? He did not win, but he was cute. It was the standard poodle that won, by the way. Why do I know that? It's amazing what we know now. And now as we come to our time of prayer, we have a few prayer concerns to share. One is we have several folks who have crud. Looking at you, Amber. And so we need to remember our folks who have crud and hope that they get over it soon. We also have folks who are off having fun this weekend. Erica Stupak is off at camp with four girls, and they are down at Camp Laforet? Foray. Sorry. Foray. And they will be back tomorrow. Let's see. Joan McNamara will have surgery on Tuesday, I believe, in Denver to repair a hiatal hernia. And so we are praying for a good outcome of the surgery and that her iron counts will come up. Ed Struby is at Elkhorn still. And Cal said that Monica is improving. And we also hope that Cal gets some rest. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning?
The cooks are here.
Yay! Yay! It's good to see you.
We're happy to be back.
We're glad you're here. Yes. Oh, yes, that is a joy.
Yes.
44 blankets were made yesterday, and I wrote down 45. You need to make another one. Debbie, did you hear that? You need to make another one. I wrote down 45. 44 blankets were made yesterday. Yes, that's a joy. Yes, Melanie. Okay. Ed and Mary. Okay, Grace Burgess. Thank you. Yes, sir.
I have a joy that another one of my grandsons became an Eagle Scout on the 30th of January.
Nice. Congratulations. That makes three. How many grandsons do you have? Well, all righty.
And Kylie's next, right?
What's that?
Kylie's next?
No, the next one will be Connie.
Kylie's not going to be an Eagle Scout? She could.
Well, I've been trying to.
We also want to include in our prayers this week Reverend Bethany Embler and Community Christian Church. They are the focus of our Week of Compassion work this week. So, are there any others? Yes, Arlen. You did. Really? All right. Arlen added a new violin to his collection. To teach with? All right. To teach with. Yes. Okay. All right. Let's join together in prayer. Holy God, who brings sweet growth, teach us to live for the love of what we do not yet see. Though we may sometimes feel buried in darkness, we trust that your love, your hope, and your healing are always ready to burst forth. Cultivate in us a new imagination for what the future will be like when wounds are healed, relationships mended, and each of us is empowered to fully live into the life that you envision for all of us. Your life-giving design is visible in the beauty of creation, in the dawning of each day, and in the turning of the seasons. Awaken in us a hope that when we plant, when we water, and when we invest in the future that you bring, we are a part of the joyful work of releasing the waters of new life. O God, who brings sweet growth, teach us to live for the love of what we do not yet see. You have called us to be partners
in the healing of creation, in the care for your children, and in the work of love for all. As stewards and caretakers of your creation, as friends and companions of your family, here in this place and throughout your world, we place in your hands our thanksgivings, our joys, our cares, and our concerns for this day. Widen our vision, expand our hearts, that we may learn to understand and love more deeply as our days go by. O God, who brings sweet growth, teach us to live for the love of what we do not yet see. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This song, Billy and I were going to sing this song, but he didn't make it, so we weren't able to sing it, so I'm going to sing it. Done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known. Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Jesus, your soul's in my hands.
Dear co-workers in God's service, we are called to the feast prepared by Christ. We come tired and hopeful. We come with laughter and tears. We come broken and blessed. We come to taste God's promise of a world made whole. At this table, we find rest. At this table, we find hope. At this table, we are moved to plant new seeds, to nourish fresh sprouts, and to join in bringing forth all the future growth God is bringing even now. To this table, we bring our dreams, our prayers, and our gifts with hopeful trust in God's holy healing, power, and love. Our communion hymn is number 419. All who hunger, gather gladly.
On the night that he knew would be his last with them, our Lord gathered his disciples for a feast. They had walked many miles together. They had known many trials. They had seen wonders. They would soon need to trust that God is in the business of bringing hopeful futures, even from the most painful endings. So after dinner was over, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and shared it with them, saying, "Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he also took a cup, blessed it, poured some wine into it, saying, "Take and drink. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we do this, beloved co-workers in Christ, we too remember that God is in the business of bringing hopeful futures, even from the most painful of endings. We eat and drink today to be filled to the brim with that good news. We eat and drink this day to become holy channels of Christ's hope and healing for ourselves and for our world.
Let us pray. God, our Father, we come to you with uncertainty and confusion about what is within us. In humility, we thank you for daily bread. We ask that you bless this bread that we break together at the Lord's table. In giving thanks for the cup, we acknowledge your love in sending your Son, Jesus, as we gather here and commune in his name. May we sense your presence, O God, so that there may be substance to our prayers of rededication this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
When violence reigns, disaster strikes, or resources are scarce, a future with hope can seem far away. In those times, our community can act as sources of critical support. We embody love, the holy source of all hope and healing. Paul writes that we are all co-workers in God's service. We each have gifts to offer that many serve as channels of love and strength to all who find themselves in need of support. We can trust that whatever we offer, God will use our gifts to bring a future with hope. Through the ministries of this church and through the ministries supported by Week of Compassion, we have the opportunity to be part of the hopeful future God is already bringing about. Imagine what the future will be like when we join hands together across distance, across cultures, and across generations to invest in the growth God promises to bring. How will we invest our gifts in the future that we build as co-workers in the kingdom of God? We invite you to give generously to the Week of Compassion today, believing in the future growth God brings when we work, plant, and build together. We will now receive our tithes and offerings. God of abundance, bless the investments that we commit to your work this day, that our efforts might serve the future thriving of this world you so love. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep God's decrees, who seek God with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in God's ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. And our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians 3. Verses 1 through 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. First, we must say thank you to Rick Black. He has saved the day in several ways. So, for nearly 80 years, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ has been busy relieving the humanitarian and disaster suffering of others around our world. What began in 1939 as the Committee for China Relief, 2 years later, with concerns extending to Africa, India, and Siam, and stranded missionaries, the group becomes the Committee on Relief. I think this just died, didn't it? Am I still? Okay. Then maybe my ears just plugged. That could have happened. Okay. The group becomes, in 1939, the Committee on Relief. And in 1943, the first week of compassion is observed to support the new wartime service fund to assist pensions for military chaplains and to respond to the needs of undernourished children and troops emerging from World War II. Today, the Week of Compassion is the Relief, Refugee, and Development Mission Fund of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. And the Week of Compassion works with partners to alleviate suffering throughout the world. I know the print is too small. I'm just learning how to do this stuff. But this is what it says. It is the ministry of the whole church, reaching those in need around the world, around the year. Anytime we respond to a need in the world, we bear witness to the unity of our table, faithfully sharing the gifts that we have as an expression of Christ's love. In working together with partners, we represent the Disciples of Christ's commitment to unity, making our resources reach farther and growing our impact on a global scale. Personally, this is required of no one, personally, I believe the will of God boils down to this. God wills for all of God's children to be happy, healthy, and whole. Or to say it another way, the original intention of God's creation is for all of creation to lead lives of joy, health, and wholeness in whatever form that life takes. And so it is my belief that as a church, the Week of Compassion is the best thing that we do together that works towards restoring the world to wholeness. Through the Week of Compassion, we bear witness to God's love, we bear witness to the unity of all peoples, and we reach out into the world and into our own backyards in ways that we could not do on our own. For instance, in Thailand. Through the Week of Compassion, we support the work of the New Life Center located in northern Thailand. There are over 100 ethnic tribal minorities in the sub-Mekong region of that area of the world. Many tribal peoples do not speak Thai, nor do they have Thai citizenship. The burden of family economic responsibility still falls on many tribal daughters, so young women are sent away from home at a young age. These girls easily fall victim to human trafficking, forced labor, and sexual abuse. Started in 1987 by the American Baptist International Ministries, the New Life Center Foundation works exclusively with young ethnic minority women throughout the Mekong sub-region, which is Thailand, Myanmar, or Burma. There's a little corner of China up above Laos. These young women are at risk for human trafficking, forced labor, and sexual abuse. It is a faith-based center where each young woman's faith is honored and respected. The center provides education, primary and secondary education. It also provides university education, and students are pursuing degrees in accounting, Chinese, English, social work, theology, public health, and business management. It provides vocational training. The next slide, please. Where graduates of this program have secured work as nurses' aides, beauticians, dressmakers, and clothing designers, and in the cooking and baking industry. They also provide business skills, therapeutic activities, life skills, medical care, nutrition, and above all, safe shelter for these young women. Today, the center also partners with the Royal Thai Government, Department of Social Development and Human Security, assisting social workers in identifying victims, interpreting languages, and in family tracing activities. Through the Week of Compassion, we are at work investing in the futures of 200 courageous women each year and those who care for them. We are at work bearing witness to God's love, restoring joy, health, and wholeness to God's beloved children. And here in the United States, we are at work in Jefferson City, Missouri. Bethany Imbler is the pastor of Community Christian Church in Jefferson City, Missouri. Missouri, if you're from Missouri. It depends on who you talk to. We'll argue that later. It is a beautiful church. It is well cared for. The landscape is lovely. There are lovely gardens. There is, how many of y'all know what a columbarium is? Many churches have columbariums where you can place cremated remains on church grounds. They have a lovely columbarium, which is a peaceful place where their loved ones from the church have been buried. The sanctuary is surrounded by gorgeous mature trees. Inside and out, it is a sanctuary of peace and beauty in the midst of their city. Like us, they have stained glass windows that they love. They have quilters. They had a 2-year interim before they found Bethany 3 years ago. They're involved in their community. They have a sign outside. We have a sign inside our elevator doors as we leave about going out into mission. They need folks to bring cookies for fellowship time. They have a choir. They have handbells. They do puppets with their kids. They worship and they picnic outdoors. She's sitting on a log and she has a s'more in her hand, and that was at an outdoor worship service. And then just before midnight on May 22nd last year, An EF3 tornado with winds of 160 miles an hour ripped through their city. No one was killed in Jefferson City that night, but several people were injured. Homes were destroyed, and Community Christian Church was directly hit.
I'm Bethany Imbler, and I'm the minister here at Community Christian Church. I'm in my third year of ministry here. And last night, we had a direct hit from a tornado in Jefferson City, Missouri. Our building has sustained major damage that is extensive both inside and out. And that is not going to deter us from gathering as a faith community on Sunday morning. We will gather for worship, for prayer, to sing songs together, and to gather around the table, to share table fellowship, remembering that the living Christ stays with us no matter what we endure in our lives.
From personal experience, I can tell you, but before this video was made by the local news station, the Week of Compassion was on the phone and in contact with Reverend Bethany Imbler. As soon as disaster hits, Week of Compassion is in contact with church pastors and regional pastors to say, we are ready, we are able, we are willing to help now, whatever the need. That's what they told me when my people were hit in 2012 by an EF4 tornado in Henryville, Indiana. Before my folks had come out of their basements, before they were out of their basements, out of their closets, the Week of Compassion was on the phone with me. The regional minister was on the phone with me saying, what do you need? We are here as soon as you need it. When the storm was over, Bethany and the board chair went down to the church that night, and here are some of the photos that they took. They're dark, and it's hard to see, but you can tell the depth of the destruction. That's the choir room, the church entryway. This is the columbarium that night, and this is the next day. This is the social hall. See the Coke can? It's still sitting on the table. Choir room with the windows. And this is the social fellowship hall. The cross there was just pushed back and is leaning against the wall. That first Sunday after the storm, Bethany said the storm would not prevent them from worshiping the next Sunday. They worshiped with the First Christian Church of Jefferson City. Community Christian Church was a new church start from the First Christian Church in Jefferson City in 1964, and so Community Christian returned to the place that gave them birth. Now Community Christian Church meets in a community room at a local bank. This was Pentecost Sunday. In November, the work on the columbarium was completed and it was rededicated on All Saints Day. From May to November, the urns that were in the columbarium were all held at a local funeral home while they put it back together and tried to find the plaques that were missing. This photograph is from Christmas. On Christmas, the church held a service in the sanctuary. I'm going to read this here. You can't read the blue. This is from the news. The local newspaper has been following the church in their progress to rebuild. This is from one of them's Twitter feed. And he posted this picture. And it says, Community Christian Church in Jefferson City was heavily damaged by the May 22nd tornado. Despite major work still left to be done on the building, church staff are holding their first service, in quotes, of sorts, in the gutter sanctuary. We'll get to that in a minute. Now, on Christmas, a cement floor, 2x4s for walls, no power, no heat, no bathrooms, a manger with a baby, hay on the floor, only candlelight to pierce the darkness. If you can, imagine, put yourself in that room for just a moment. The newspaper reporter called it a gutter sanctuary. It's probably a typo. But I saw this and it sent chills up my spine. I thought, well, that's kind of appropriate if we think about the way we use the word gutter. As a place of rejection and hopelessness. And staring at the picture, I thought, well, if we remember that the nativity story tells us there were no proper rooms available, one of the stories tells us that, there were no rooms left for the family. And then looking at the picture, if we remember that the manger, it was a box, a trough, that the animals ate out of outside in the cold, maybe the stable, the barn. And then we remember that this is the sacred home of a people who had been devastated by disaster. And yet, like the story, everything I read, these are a people, and everything I saw, these are a people who are filled with hope of new life. And to look at that photo and imagine it in darkness with people holding candles in the darkness surrounding that manger in cement and 2x4s on that night, I thought, this is what it means to be church. There, in that room, in that moment, in that gutter, sacred place, and the next day, that they got up. And the next day after that. And that's why we give to the Week of Compassion, because we are a part of that. We are a part of that hope for the future. The place of the rejected has become the place of hope for the future. The gutter sanctuary in Missouri. The New Life Center in Thailand. These are just two among the many places around the world where we help plant and water new futures every day. Alone, we could not do this. But the day after that tornado hit, we are reminded by Community Christian Church that we are not alone. Why do we know this is the day after the tornado? They're worshiping at First Christian Church at 10 a.m. Right there. We are never alone. God has promised. Jesus has promised. And we have promised. And so we give generously because we are a part of that. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose. And each will receive wages according to the labor of each, for we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field. You are God's building. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, because you love us, we love. Because of what you have done for us in Christ Jesus, we do for others. Because you give us into the care of each other, we care for others. Open our eyes. Open our hands. Open our wallets, that together with our sisters and brothers around your world, we may bring new and unimagined futures to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is In the Bulb, There Is a Flower, number 638, if you would like to make a confession of faith or become a part of this church family here in this place. We invite you to come forward. So you know, you can also give online at www.weekofcompassion.org. So there you go. Something we ought to look into, Finance Committee. Just saying. Have a good week, y'all. As you go from this place, may holy hope bloom in your heart, that you may find the joy in serving the promise of the sweet fruit that will fall when God's new life bursts suddenly forth in your life and around the world. Go forth bearing the good news that God promises a future full of hope. Go forth with expectant eyes, watching for the fruit God will bring. Go courageous and in compassionate peace. Amen.
What is life? A A thousand roads, a thousand waves. And why am I so afraid to move? I cross the line. I'm stepping out, so come what may. I give it all.